We are continuing our study from a book by the title of Holiness and Its Roots. And we are on a chapter that's entitled, Lovest Thou Me? Do you love me? And this is the question that the Lord Jesus asked Peter. We read it in John chapter 21. We'll turn to John chapter 21, and I'll read verse 15. John 21, verse 15. So when they had dined, Jesus saith unto Simon Peter, Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me more than these? And he said unto him, Yes, Lord, thou knowest that I love thee. And he saith unto him, Feed my lambs. We look at this question today, and it is a question, although it's a simple question, it's a question that we must ask ourselves in sincerity. The question, do you love me, may seem very simple at first glance, but it's a very sincere and a searching question. Now, it's a question that every believer should ask themselves, do I love God? Our very salvation hinges upon this, life or death, heaven or hell, depend upon this, depend on our ability to answer the simple question, do you love Christ? Now, we're going to look at some points, and one of the points is, let me show you the particular quality that a true Christian has towards Christ. And that quality is simply this, he loves him. All true Christians love Christ. A true Christian is not someone that's more baptized than another one. Oh, well, I was baptized by so-and-so. I'm really a Christian. Or I go to church more than so-and-so. So I'm really a Christian. Or I attend Bible studies during the week. And I attend church on Sundays. So I'm really a good Christian. But the rest of the week, they just live as though there's no God in heaven. That's not a true Christian. Just because somebody has high moral standards doesn't mean that they are true Christians. They may know all the right things to say. You can ask people, are you born again? And they will tell you yes. But it doesn't mean they are truly born again. The scripture says that there are people that draw nigh or near to God with their mouth, and they honor the Lord with their lips, but their heart is far away from him. That's Matthew 15 and verse 8. So they say, Lord, Lord, but they do not do the things which the word of God teaches. And Luke 6 and verse 46 teaches us, the scripture clearly says, and why do you call me Lord, Lord, and you do not do the things which I say? Ignorant lip service, ignorant worship only with the lips, doesn't mean that you are a true Christian. The scripture clearly says, I read it to you in Romans 9 and verse 6, they are not all Israel which are of Israel. They are not all Israel which are of Israel. And the practical lesson from those words is clear and plain. All are not true Christians that are members of the visible church. You may be a member of a church, but that doesn't make us a true Christian. What is a true Christian? A true Christian who's one that has Christ in his life and Christ in his heart. He has a new heart. He has the old stony heart has been replaced with a new heart. And it's a heart full of warmth and full of love. It is a heart that is turned from the old ways and turned to Christ. And they feel it in their heart. They feel love compelling them to obey Christ. John 14 and verse 23. Jesus answered and he said unto them, if any man love me, he will keep my words. My Father will love him, and we will come unto him, and we will make our abode with him. A living faith is felt in a believer's heart. And a living faith is clearly seen by others, by the believer's walk, by the manner of his behavior, by their conduct, by the fact that the way they conduct their lives. The true believer definitely has a time when they saw their own sinfulness, when they saw their badness, when they saw their need for repentance, and they see Jesus Christ, the divine Savior, as the only Savior, and they are committed to him. They are committed to obey him. They put off the old man with the corrupt and carnal habits, and they put on the new life. They fight the good fight against the world. They fight the good fight against the flesh. They fight the good fight against the devil. Christ is the cornerstone of the true Christian's life. If you were to ask them a question, in what do you trust for your forgiveness? They will answer you very clearly, I trust in the sacrifice of Jesus Christ on the cross. If you were to ask them, in what righteousness will you stand before the judgment seat of Christ? They will say clearly, in the righteousness of Christ Jesus I stand. They will answer these things. Ask them, what pattern? What is the pattern that they follow? Who do they follow? How do they pattern their lives? And they will answer you, I follow Christ Jesus. These are the marks of a true Christian. But besides these marks, there is still one distinguishing mark above all these other marks. And that clear evidence is this, that they love the Lord Jesus Christ. The point made more clearly, knowledge, faith, hope, reverence, obedience are all features of the true Christian's character. But the picture would be incomplete if you left out love for the divine Savior. Love is what makes it complete. The true Christian doesn't only know and trust and obey, he goes further than this. He loves. He loves. The authenticating mark of a true Christian, you know, in the scripture we find it mentioned many times, just like in the scripture we read that faith towards Christ is mentioned many times. It's an expression that we read many times in the Bible, and it's an expression that we all know and believe, that without faith in Christ, we will not be saved. But there is another expression which we must never forget, and it is an expression that is mentioned and is mentioned in terms as important, just as strong as without faith we will not be saved. There's a great danger. Nobody will argue if I were to say, if you believe not, you shall not be saved. They will say, yes, that is correct. But there is also just as much danger. If you love not, the danger is equally as great. If we believe not, we won't be saved. If we love not, the danger is equally as great. Not believing and not loving are two steps to everlasting ruin. 1 Corinthians 16 and verse 22, the scripture says, if a man love not the Lord Jesus Christ, let him be anathema, Maranatha. What does that mean? It means let him be accursed. Anathema means let him be accursed. If a man or a woman does not love the Lord Jesus Christ, let him be put over to God for God to punish him. This is final. The apostle gives no way of escape for those that do not love Christ. He leaves no loophole. He leaves no excuse. A man or a woman may lack clear knowledge of salvation. They may not be able to defend it or speak well about it, but they still may be saved. A man or woman may fail in courage and fail in the fear of man, like Peter failed, but he may still be saved. He may fail terribly, like David failed, and fall into terrible sin, but he will rise again. But the man that does not love Christ, he is on his way on the Broadway to destruction. He's lost. Listen what the Apostle Paul says. He says this in Ephesians 6 and verse 24. Grace be with them that love our Lord Jesus Christ in sincerity. There is grace for those who love the Lord Jesus Christ in sincerity. The Apostle is sending his closing greetings here. He's greeting all the Christians. Now, some of them are new Christians in Ephesians. They were young Christians. Maybe they were weak in faith. Maybe they were weak in knowledge. Maybe they were weak in self-denial. So the apostle uses an expression to include all the true Christians. And what is that expression? He gives them one common name, that loved Christ in sincerity. That's the common name for a true Christian. Those that love Christ in sincerity. Hear what the Lord himself says about this matter. He says to the Jews of the day, if God were your father, you would love me. If God were your father, that's John 8 and verse 42. How misguided the Jews were. They were satisfied with their spiritual condition. They had one argument that they were gods, and they based that argument upon the one argument that they were the children of Abraham. What weak grounds, just like today. Many people claim to be the Lord's with a very weak argument. For example, they say, well, I'm the Lord's because I go to church. I'm the Lord's because I have Christian parents. Or I'm the Lord's because I give offerings to the church. But the Lord lays down a very clear rule. No man has the right to call God his father who does not love Christ. Without love, Without love for Christ, there is no sonship to God. Hear again what the Lord says to the Apostle Peter. He asked Peter, "Do you love me?" Peter, do you love me? He didn't ask him, "Peter, do you believe in me?" He didn't say to him, "Peter, are you converted?" He didn't say, "Peter, are you ready to confess me before men?" He didn't say, "Peter, are you willing to obey me?" He uses none of those expressions. He says, "Peter, do you love me? Do you love me?" And this is what our entire Christianity hinges upon. Do we love the Lord Jesus Christ? It's a simple yet a searching question, plain and easy to understand. Even the most unlearned and the poorest among us can understand it. Even the most advanced and educated among us can understand it. There is one question that tests the reality of genuine faith, and it's this. This is the question: do we love Christ? If we love him, everything is right. And if not, everything is wrong. Do you want to know the secret of love towards Christ? This clearly distinguishes the true Christians. We love him because he first loved us. He first loved us. 1 John 4:19. We love God because he sent his only begotten Son. And we love Christ because he died for us. He took our punishment. He suffered in our place. He redeemed us. He blotted out our sins. He freed us from the captivity of the world. He placed us on the narrow way to heaven. He gave us light instead of darkness, peace instead of uneasiness, hope instead of hopelessness, life instead of death. Is there any wonder that the true Christian loves the Lord Jesus Christ when he has given us so much? We love him because daily he supplies our daily bread. Daily he gives us mercy and grace. Daily we lean upon him, and he raises us up when we stumble and when we fall. He protects us from our many enemies. Daily, daily he's with us. And then he is preparing for us an eternal home in heaven. No wonder we love him. All he has done for us. When I was preparing this, there was this example. Does the debtor in jail love the friend who unexpectedly and undeservingly pays all his debts and frees him from the jail, and then supplies him with fresh capital and takes him into partnership with himself? A little child can answer this question. Of course he loves him. And in the same way, and upon these same principles, the true Christian loves the Lord Jesus Christ. He has paid my debt. He has set me free from bondage of sin. The love of Christ is inseparable from saving faith. When a man is truly justified by Christ, there's always deep love present. He that is really forgiven really loves much. We think of the scripture, Luke 7, verse 47. Wherefore I say unto thee, her sins, which are many, are forgiven, for she loved much. But to whom little is forgiven, the same loveth little. Love is the mainspring of the work for Christ. Little is done for Christ out of sense of duty or from the knowledge of what is right and proper. The heart must be interested before the hands will move and continue to move. Excitement may spur the Christian, and there will be fitful starting and stopping of occasional activity, but there will be no patient continuance of well-doing, no unwearied labor without love. I'll give you an example. The nurse in a hospital may do her duty properly and well. She may give the sick man his medicine at the right time. She may feed him. She may minister to him and attend to his wants. But there's a vast difference between the nurse and the wife attending the sick man. The beloved husband or mother watching over the sick. The one acts from a sense of duty and the other from affection and love. The one does her duty because she's paid for it, and the other does her duty because her heart is full of love. In just the same way, that is our service for Christ, must be out of love and not out of duty, not out of just because we think it's right. The great workers of the church, the men who turned the world upside down, have one thing in common. They all loved Christ with their whole hearts. Examine the men of old. These men who left their mark upon the world, the common feature was they all loved Christ. Love for Christ is the point which we ought to specifically dwell on in teaching our children. For example, if you try and teach your children the doctrine of election or faith even, these matters are too complicated for the children, but love will reach even a young child. We must teach our children the love of Christ. They will understand it, that he loved them in his death, and they ought to love him in return. So simple and so true. Out of the mouth of babes and sucklings, thou hast perfected praise. You may think you know lots about Christianity. You may even be able to quote much scripture. Yet, it's possible to know much less than even a little child. This little child knows one thing. They know that Christ loves them and they love Christ. And that is the main thing. That is the main thing. The little child only knows one thing, the love of Christ, and that's the most important thing. Rich and poor, educated, uneducated, Methodist or Baptist, we all have one thing in common. We believe, for God so loved the world that he gave his only Son. In love, he gave Christ. Many people are perhaps ignorant of all the truths. They couldn't present an argument based on Bible doctrine, but they love the Lord. And I'm reminded of a story that says a lady went to the pastor and she said, Pastor, I cannot speak well. I cannot present arguments and present sound doctrine like you can present sound doctrine. But I love Christ, and I'm willing to lay down my life for Christ. You see, it doesn't matter how well you can speak. The truth is, the true Christian is willing to lay down their all for Christ Jesus. Love for Christ will be the distinguishing mark of saved souls in heaven, a great multitude which no man can number. All differences will fade away and merge into one common feeling. All doctrinal arguments that are so fiercely contested upon earth will be covered by one common sense of gratitude and love for Christ. We will find ourselves joining in one heart and one voice in that hymn of praise unto him that hath loved us and washed us from our sins in his own blood, and hath made us kings and priests unto God and his Father. To him be glory and dominion forever and ever. Amen. When we love a person in this world, a husband or a wife or a parent or a child or a brother or a sister or a friend, there are some common questions that we can ask that will reveal the depth of affection amongst us. These questions we need to answer honestly. And I'm going to just pose to you a few questions. And the questions are, if we love a person, we will think about them. If we love the Lord, we will think about the Lord. No one needs to remind us about them. We do not forget their name. We do not forget their appearance. We do not forget their character and their tastes. We have them in mind throughout the day. Even if they are far away, they are still present in our thoughts. It's just the same between true Christians and Christ. We don't need to be reminded that he's our Savior because we love him. He is in our thoughts constantly. And when a person loves somebody, they love to hear news about them. They find pleasure when they hear others speaking about the one that they love. They are very interested to hear a report about the one that they love. They are very attentive when others talk about the one that they love and describe their ways and their sayings and their doings. And for the Christian, we are very attentive when we hear others, preachers, speaking about the one, Jesus Christ, whom we love. If we love a person, we love to read about them. What pleasure it gives us to get a letter or an email or an SMS message from somebody that we love, from a loved one. Others aren't really interested in this letter. They may not even bother to read it, but it's precious to us because it's from somebody we love. And some people keep these letters and read them over and over again. And it's the same for a Christian. Those that love the Lord Jesus Christ love to read the scriptures over and over and over again. They bring joy and they bring comfort and they bring strength to the heart. Next, if we love somebody, we desire to please them. If we ask that one that we love to come to our house to eat something, we will find out their tastes and we'll give them that which they approve of and that which they like. We won't give them what they dislike. If we really love them, we will even deny ourselves from what we like to give them what they like. And the true Christian wants to please God because he loves God. If we love somebody, we will also love his friends. True Christians have regard for all Christ's friends are their friends. True Christians love the friends of God. If we love a person, we are jealous about their name and jealous about their honor. And we don't like people to speak badly about the one that we love. We stand for them and we defend them. A true one will not be silent, but will speak up for his master's cause because he loves him. If we love a person, we'll want to talk to them. We'll want to pour out our heart to them. We will not find it difficult to speak to them. The true Christian finds no difficulty in talking to his Savior. He speaks to him in the morning. He speaks to him in the noontime. He speaks to him at night. We love him and we want to be with him always. These are the marks of love, plain and simple. Let us ask ourselves honestly, do we love the Savior like this? Do we love Christ Jesus like this? If we answer, well, I believe, I'm not asking you if you believe. I'm asking you to answer the question that Christ asked Peter. Do we love Christ Jesus? In closing, there's a moving story that I read of an English gentleman that went to America in the 1800s, and he saw a red Indian speaking about Jesus Christ, telling everybody how much he loved Jesus Christ, and it annoyed him. And he said to him, "Man, why do you speak about Christ Jesus so much? You never seem to stop." And the converted Indian man did not answer him in words. Instead, he went and gathered a small pile of dry leaves and sticks, and he made a circle with them. And inside the circle of dry leaves and sticks, he placed a worm. And then he took he lit the dry leaves, and the flames began to burn. And in the middle, the worm began to be scorched and began to panic and curled up, resigned. Now I'm going to die. It was in agony. And he reached forth his hand and he took the worm out of the circle and he held the worm close to his heart. And he said to that Englishman, he said, "I tell you why I speak about Christ so much. Because I was that worm. And in his love, he reached out his hand. Fire was all around me, and he plucked me out, and he held me close to his heart. I love him. That's why I speak about him so much." Oh, we would do well to be like that man, full of the love of God, speaking about him for what he has done for us. May we never forget these marks. May we be ones that can truly answer, like Peter, "Thou knowest, Lord, I love you." Amen and amen.